Good morning, church. How y'all doing this morning? I can see we're sparsely populated because of the time change. Last night I was in bed and I was reading and the Lord reminded me. He's like, it's actually 11:30. And I was like, oh, it is 11:30, actually. So God is good. You'll see Pastor Jason isn't here with us this morning. He really is battling. He is battling for his health. He's just battling. So keep him in prayer. God is good. The victory is assured. People have been asking me how he is. He's like a bear. That is the best description. It's like trying to wrestle a bear down and get him to rest. He's a bear and he needs our prayers. He'll be missed this morning. I'm going to be preaching his sermon. He was up at 3 a.m. He's like, Liz, the Lord gave me the sermon and I felt great for like all the 45 minutes I worked on it. And then I felt awful again. So praise God, right? Like God's making a way for us this morning. And we're just going to worship him this morning. I'm thankful for this community. I'm thankful to be here to worship the Lord with y'all. Go ahead and stand up with me. We're going to open this sermon or the service. I'm going to read out of Revelation 5. It says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. We gather today to worship the one who created us, the one who has called us, the one who has equipped us, the one who loves us without end, the one who heals us. Let's worship him this morning, church. Let's pour out our hearts to him this morning, church. Let's worship him with arms open wide to receive all that he has to pour out into us this morning so that we can go from this place filled up, full of the rich presence of God. Let's worship. Church, we're going to take communion together this morning. And in the Word, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 26, it says, for every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. I'm going to read it again. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Jesus' death was salvation for mankind. And his resurrection was life for mankind. His death brought relationship with the Father. And his resurrection brought life. We take communion every week as a body of believers, as one body, his body. The word goes on to say, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That scripture deserves some study. I want to know, what does that mean? Because I certainly don't want to do that. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For you, if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, You are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. So there's a proclamation of the reality of the death of Jesus. When we take communion, there is a supernatural impartation of grace for living. But there is also this warning about how we treat the body of Christ. And if you look to the left and if you look to the right, you're looking at the body of Christ. We are his body, the church, not just this church, but the big church. Every tribe, every nation, every tongue. I love explaining to my children that when we get to heaven, there's just going to be such a vast diversity of people. And we're going to hear it, and we're going to see it, and we're going to be a part of it. So this morning, as we take communion, every week we have a moment where we examine ourselves. And so this morning we're going to do that again. We're going to do that as we do. I'm going to invite you. You can begin to come down to the table. The center plate is gluten-free. And you're going to take your communion elements and circle back around to your seats. And this morning we are going to examine our hearts. We're going to lay our hearts open before the Lord and ask him to shine the light of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Father. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Father, we come before you this morning and we lean into your presence, God. We lean into your promises, God. We lean into your love. We lean into your righteousness and redemption, justification. We lean into Jesus. Father, examine our hearts this morning. Give us eyes to see. We open our hearts to you this morning, Father. Jesus. The word says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ broken for you, church. In the same way, he took the cup of the wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. The blood of Jesus shed for you, church. Father, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. We submit ourselves unto you in every way. You are worthy of worship. You alone, God, are worthy. And we worship you. Stand with me. We're going to continue to worship the Lord this morning. Church, we trust in the one who is trustworthy. We come each Sunday and we worship and we praise, and over, it's He's worthy. You are worthy. He's worthy of our worship, and He is trustworthy. He has shown His faithfulness to the generations. And this morning, if you're in the middle of something, if you're in the middle of something and you walk with Jesus, if you've made Him, if you've trusted in Him, if you've put your trust in Him, He is right beside you. And I want to encourage you that this is what the journey is raw and it's real. And there's one thing, that the Lord will never do. He will never control people. He does not control people. And so many times I've been in situations and I've been like, where are you? What in the heck are you doing? Don't you see what's going on here? I've prayed some pretty raw prayers. But when I got to the end of the thing, faith is like, it's the long view. It's the long view, and there's no getting around it. It's the long view. And when I've gotten to the end of it, I've looked back and I've been like, oh, Lord, I'm such a brat. I'm so sorry. I can see what He was doing. And it's always bigger. It's always bigger than what I thought. It's always bigger. It's always going to, if it's not bigger than what we could think or imagine or see, then it's not God. A God who is worthy of worship is always bigger. It's always bigger and broader. And whatever suffering that I was walking in, He was right there. And He was doing work for generations. He was doing work in the suffering. I was talking to someone and I said the definition of parenting is intentional suffering on behalf of someone else's growth and on behalf of someone else's maturity. And the person I was talking to, it was my brother. He said, sometimes I feel that way about the church. And it's true. It's true. When you lead the church, we feel that for you. But Jesus came and He suffered for the generations. So if you find yourself in the middle of something right now and you're suffering, do not stop crying out to the Lord. Do not stop crying out to the Lord. And know that your suffering produces endurance. It produces perseverance. It purifies your faith for the long view, and you will become a partner. You will become like Jesus. He came, He suffered, He died for you, for me, for an eternal purpose, for eternal life. And we become partners in that when we walk with Him. When we seek Him, He answers, and He is trustworthy, church. He is trustworthy. Just going to close this time with prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we come before You this morning and we thank You that You are worthy. Father, we pour out all of our praise and all of our worship. Father, I pray over this congregation. I pray that they would seek You earnestly, tenaciously seek You, God, in Your word. That they would seek Your presence in their homes, that they would seek Your wisdom. Father, and I thank You that when we seek You, that You are faithful to answer. I thank You that You are a good, good Father. Father, and we rest, we place ourselves, we abandon ourselves into Your care, into Your ways. Father, keep us, lead us, and have Your way in our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a break. We always take a little break. If you're a guest here, I want to welcome you. If this is your first time, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Thank you for coming and just experiencing Jesus with us this morning. We're happy to have you. In the seat back in front of you, there's a connection card. That card, there's a place for you to put your email, and we will send you an email that gives you information about our church. Church family, you know, that's a place to put your prayer requests and your praise reports, and those cards will go in the offering buckets. The offering buckets will be up here during the break. You can bring your tithes, your offerings, your giving, and your connection cards, and you can put them in that those buckets. During the break, also, if you're an ECF kid, you know the drill. Kid Corner is over here. If you're a guest with a child, we have nursery ages 0 to 3 that is open and staffed. Thank God for people who are serving in the nursery. We have Littles Ministry for ages 4, 5, and 6. And then ages 7 and up, if you're a guest and you have a child, we have things over in Kid Corner for them. They stay in service. They listen to the word. They color beautiful pictures. And their ears are open. So their hands are busy, but their ears are open. And they grow. They grow in the Lord. We have seen it. I have seen it. In every single family that regularly attends ECF, I have seen it. I've seen these kids growing in God, and it's awesome. So kids, offering, connection cards. All right, let's take a break. Let's greet one another, and we'll come back together in about 5 minutes.
Am I here? Oh, there we are. How you guys doing? Good, good, good. Want to hear a really bad joke? Yes. I shared it with some people. What did baby corn say to mama corn? Where is popcorn? Okay. Woo. Bad joke Sunday. Here we go. Okay. With that, we'll go into announcements. So, all right. So for announcements, we have a couple things here. This Tuesday, we have our young adult group, which is for age 18 to 29. If you are in that age category, we have a group for you, and it meets here at 6 p.m. at the Rose Center, which is the white building right across. Well, when you pull in, it's the white building on the left. So come check that out, 6 p.m., young adult group. We have our women to women group this Wednesday the 13th. It is at Maureen's house. And if you, Maureen and Joanna up there, and if you would like their address, just contact the church and we'll give it to you. Or you can see her right up front here. She's sitting up front. But it is for women of all ages, and they do a Bible study, and it's a great fellowship, so you will not want to miss that. And then we also have our men-to-men group this Saturday at 8 a.m. in the Rose Center as well. So that's for guys of all ages, and you can just come, and we do a Bible study. We've been doing the foundations of our faith, and Rich Horniman leads that, and he does a wonderful job. I love participating in that group, so check it out if you're a man, not a men, right? Okay. All right. Next week, March 17th, we have our church service, but we are going to be doing some church family business during the service. So the message will be a little bit shorter, and then Pastor Jason and Pastor Liz are going to be sharing some things regarding our church, and it's going to be great, so come check that out. Make sure you're here. And then, who knows, Easter is coming up earlier than normal, and we have our Good Friday service, and it's going to be happening. We've been doing this for 3 years now, I think, But we go up to Erie first, and it's a multi-church service, so churches from around Erie County all come there for Good Friday, and 6:30. And this year, the Slavic Church is going to be leading worship, so it'll be a little bit different than normal, and it's always a great time, so you won't want to miss that, March 29th. All right, I think that's it.
All right, church. Look at me, I'm full-handed. Okay. Never underestimate what a mother of 8 can do. I can bring in more groceries than you would even believe in one trip. I love one trip. Okay. Well, I'm going to say a prayer. I have a scripture over the offering. We always come up and we always have a scripture about giving, because giving is something that is a journey in growing closer to Jesus and in trust. Parenting is another one, because our children are precious to us. But you know what else is precious to us is our money. And any honest person can, you know, say that. because, you know, it's money. You know, you work hard for it. So the process of trusting God with our finances, it's a process. So we always take a minute, and that's why we do this, if ever you wondered, why do they always do a scripture and a little mini scripture and a prayer over the offering? Because it's important to God. He talks about it so much in his word. The scripture today is out of Psalm 37, which is just one of my favorite psalms. And it's in verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Feed on his faithfulness. Freedom in your finances. Increase in your finances. Provision in your finances. Just favor in your work, that it'll be multiplied. I'm not talking about bags of money. I'm just talking about a favor in the work that you do, that you offer to your business or to your family or to whatever work you do. You offer in faith to God that you would have favor in that. Anything that we do in faith, God meets us with provision because he is faithful. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the principles and the promises in your word that never fail. Father, I thank you for Jesus. Father, I thank you for access to your throne room, God. And I just pray a blessing over the finances of the people of God today. Father, I pray that you would prosper them, that you would lead them. Father, that they would be givers and not borrowers. They would be lenders of resources and not borrowers. Father, I pray that you would just walk with them as they grow and as they trust in you. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you are faithful to your word 100% of the time. You are good. And Father, I just pray over the message today, God. I ask that you would come, that your spirit would fall, God, and that you would pierce our hearts with your word, that we would grow, deeper in you, Jesus. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you weren't here in the beginning, Pastor Jason is not with us this morning. He is at home and he is resting and recovering. So continue to keep him in prayer. He was determined. Pastor Andy reached out, you know, later in the week, and he's like, "Hey, if you need me to preach, just let me know." And man, Pastor Jason, he's a fighter. He's a fighter. I'm going to be well in the name of Jesus. You know, he does not relent, and he will not relent. And this morning, I just looked at him and said, you will relent. Like, you must relent, love. I was like, God's got it. And isn't that great? Isn't it awesome that we can trust in the Lord? He's like, "Oh, I should have let Andy." And I said, God's got it. God's got it. So normally, and I love this. So normally, I don't normally know what Pastor Jason is preaching on. It's just not something that we have traditionally talked about beforehand. And that is kind of beginning to change, and I like it. But this past week, earlier in the week, I said to him, "What are you preaching on?" And he told me, "The Narrow Gate." We've been doing Sermon on the Mount. And I said, "Oh, I have such a heart for that scripture. Here is how the Lord ministers to me about that scripture." And I began to speak it to him. And we just had this really good conversation. And then fast forward to this morning, you know, I was laying in bed and I was just like, "Did you print out your message?" He's like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Okay." He's like, "It's everything we talked about." I was like, "Oh, okay." So God has made the way for this morning. And so I'm excited for what he has for us. Pastor Jason, Pastor Andy, and myself, we've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning we are in Matthew, and I'm going to begin by reading it. We're in verse 13, and chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." So here in this passage of scripture, this is Jesus. And he is giving us a word picture, which I love. in making it very plain that there's two paths, there's two ways. I'm going to begin by talking about wide, the wide gate. It leads to destruction. Many people are going to go through that gate. Many people, you can see the gate. It's massive. It's easy. And the enemy, Satan, the enemy, that is, he's rooting for that gate. He is like drawing people to that way. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And if that doesn't strike fear into your heart, let me just tell you something. That strikes fear into my heart. Do you want to know why? Because I am a man. I'm of man, okay? The pronouns of the Bible don't bother me. When it says, you know, son of God, that's me. That's me. It doesn't bother me. Just because it doesn't say daughter doesn't mean it's not me. It's me. So there is a way that seems right to a man. So what that means is that man is fully convinced that it's okay, that it's right. They're fully convinced that it's right. But its end is the way of death. My greatest fear, here it is. My greatest fear is that I'm going to get to the end of something, to the end of parenting. And I am going to think the whole time earnestly that I was doing it right, that I was doing it well, and that I'm going to get gobsmacked by some truth that I didn't see, and that there's going to be some consequence that I didn't anticipate. That's what the scripture says that's possible. That there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. This scripture is what keeps me so earnest and unrelenting, tenacious in seeking after God in his word. It is written. It is written. It hasn't been changed, okay? It hasn't been changed. The New Testament, there is a process to historically validate documents, whether it's something that Socrates wrote or Plato or, you know, there is a process by which academic historians, this rigorous process that they put manuscripts through to validate them. And I am not an expert on this process, but I know that one of them is how many copies have been made and how close have those copies been made to the time of the original writing. The reason why this validates it is because if one copy is changed, let's say there were 500 copies made, which sounds like y'all can Google it. There's a lot of copies of the New Testament, a lot of copies that were made. So if one copy is changed, there's 400 copies that negate the changes because they were copied word for word. So they validate themselves. And it was written down within like 30 years of it happening. This is eyewitness stuff. So I can trust the book. I can trust the word of God. There are no mistakes in it. There is no mistakes in this book. And so when it says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, then I check earnestly, is what I'm believing about what I'm doing or about the way I'm living my life. If it doesn't check out here is my North Star. This is it. This is what I'm going to align myself to so that I don't end up in a way of death, fully convinced that I had been walking in a way because it seemed right to me. The wide gate is a gate that seems right to a man, but its way, it ends in death. And what does it look like? It's just wide. Everything is okay. Everything is okay. God loves me. Jesus loves me. You know, God loves me just the way I am. Can I tell you, God has never, ever ministered to me and said, "Liz, I just love everything that you believe and think, and everything that you do is perfect, and you don't have to change at all." He has never said that, because that's not love. That's not love, and that's not parenting. God is a good father, and he parents us. I parent my children. I certainly don't lie to them. God's not a liar, and he is safe. That is the safety that we have, is that he will never affirm in us ways that lead to death. He won't affirm them, and we will get angry with him. My children will get angry with me when I won't tell them they're right when they're wrong. My husband gets angry with me when I won't relent. I will not say that that's right. It's not right. It's not right even for a second. Not that he wants me to, but you know what I'm saying. God does not lie. And so the wide gate is that, oh, Jesus is a good man. God is love and love is love. That's a lie. Love is a lie. Okay, love is love. It doesn't say that here. God is love. Who defines love? Can we just define it however we want to define it? That will lead to death. That will lead to destruction. That will lead to 45-year-old men trying to justify a love relationship here. I'm not going to be explicit. There's kids. You understand? And say, love is love. That's where it's going to go. So it's a lie. It's based on a lie. It sounds nice. God is love. Oh, I'm over here. The wide gate says God is okay. He's okay with these things. He's okay with these things because he loves me. Because he loves me, he's okay with what I am doing. It's a deception. It's a deception. And my heart for my children and my heart for this church is that you will not be deceived. That you can walk with Jesus the narrow gate, on the narrow path. You can do it. And the way will lead to life. The wide gate says, oh, God is patient. I don't have to change. He is patient. But he is not okay with death. He is not okay with sin. He is not okay with your feet being on a path that leads to death. The wide way says, well, a little of this. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's having a casual relationship with sin. And that's a deception as well. You can't have a casual relationship with sin. And it's just, it's a process. It's a journey with the Holy Spirit. Is this okay? Is this okay? The wide gate is satisfying the desires of the flesh above the commands of the Bible. The wide way says your feelings are your truth. I don't trust my feelings at all. Not at all. But do you know what I do is I listen to them. I hear them. I hear you. I know it's hard. I parent myself. I parent my feelings, like anger, sadness, depression. It's okay. I say, it's okay, Liz. There's tears that were probably stuffed down 10 years ago that need to come out. So you don't know why you're crying. And it's all right. Cry. You're loved. It's okay. But I do not affirm my feelings as Lord of my life. I do not mistreat people because I felt a certain way and then justify it. The wide way leads to death. And it's a path of ease. It's a path of ease. I think that's the biggest descriptor of the wide way. And I only say that because in my experience, I'm going to talk about the narrow gate. My experience with the narrow gate is that it is the most difficult walk of my life. Of my life. I have said to Pastor Jason on multiple occasions, and if you know me, you know that I am just real. And I'm telling you this because if I had these thoughts, if this is the journey for me in the callings that God has on my life, then I share these things with you so that you know that this is the way. I've said to Pastor Jason, if I had known how hard this was going to be, I never would have been obedient. Think about that. And I knew it to be true. If I had seen how difficult it was going to be to raise 8 kids, how much dying to self it was going to require, how much perseverance it was going to require, I never would have done it. And what I would have missed out on. Life, abundant life. If you've spent any time with my family, you know it's like this joyous chaos. We adore one another. We love one another. There's so much gold there. But wow, easy is not a word I would use to describe the sowing that continually happens in order to reap that. Pastor Andy was with us yesterday at Jersey Mike's, and I'm standing there ordering subs for 9 people. It's chaos. The men doing the subs are asking me questions, and the kids, I'm asking them questions, and it was madness. It was crazy. Easy, it was not. But the hard part about it, I mean, it's a silly example, but what was difficult was what was going on inside of me. It was the parenting that was going on inside of me, and that is the difficult work. You can't walk the narrow way for your wife. You can't walk the narrow way for your husband, for your pastors, for your friends, for your coworkers. You can't hold them accountable. You can only hold yourself accountable. So I'm just going to go back and reread. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. And because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. So why do many go in by the wide gate? Because the narrow gate is difficult and it's narrow. It's not as appealing. When people are standing at the crossroads and the enemy is wooing them this way, ease is wooing. Safety, okay, it's false, but it's there. Safety is wooing them to the wide way. And they go that way because they look to the narrow gate. They see it. And it's so narrow. And it's so difficult. It looks difficult. And so they say, whew, I'm going this way. And it leads to death. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. In John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. This is Jesus. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Pasture. What is pasture for sheep? It's nourishment. It's life. It's life. If you put sheep in a desert, they will die. The thief does not come except... He only has one goal, and it is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's 3 goals. That's all he does. He creates a lot of confusion. Jesus is saying, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So right here in these scriptures, it debunks the myth that all paths lead to heaven. They don't. The wide way leads to destruction. There's no two ways about it. There's no debate about it. When we think about the narrow gate, most of us think of it like walking a tightrope. It's hard to do. We're likely to fall and off of the tightrope. Can't do it. It's very stressful. What if I mess up? But the way of the narrow gate is not a tightrope. And how wide is the narrow gate? That's what I want to know, right? How wide is it? You have the wide gate. There's no boundaries. There's no guide rails. Everything is permissible. Anything's okay. There's no consequences. You do you. Your truth is your truth. You know, they hurt you. You hurt them. The narrow gate. It's like when I envision it, I envision the narrow gate and the path leading up to the gate. It has a fence and the fence, a split rail fence. I love a split rail fence. And it's like each of the posts and the pieces of wood that make the split rail fence, they have words on it. This is my word picture. And the words are submission, obedience, surrender. And nobody looks at that path that leads to the narrow gate and says, well, that looks like fun. It's not fun. This is the part, dying to self, putting to death the flesh, right? But the width of the narrow gate is 24 inches. It's the width of a man. The narrow gate is Jesus. It's Jesus. And I feel like people who are standing at this decision point, if they've met people who accurately represent Jesus, then they can see him and they're more likely to tentatively step toward him. People who have seen a wretched representation of Jesus, hateful, not a false representation of Jesus, look at that way and go, why would I ever go that way? Children who are raised in homes that are filled with abuse and the Bible coexisting, they will run away from Jesus. Children who are raised in homes that are filled with a spirit of religion where the Bible is followed with such rigidity like the law, and that there are a billion rules and very little relationship, they will run from the narrow way. Because the treasure in the gold of the narrow way is relationship. The treasure in the gold of the narrow way is grace. It's belonging and acceptance, truly as we are, meaning he does the work in us as we submit, surrender, relent, obey. He does that work. The narrow gate is the width of a man. It's Jesus. Commitment, devotion, submission to Jesus, it's the only way. And it leads to life. It is the only way to life. It leads to freedom and mercy and grace and space. And I have this word picture that has ministered to me for so long because I was raised up with religion, with a spirit of religion. And I was a runner, ran from Jesus. Y'all know this. Because I share it openly, because it's such a devastation to the church. And I grew up with this spirit of religion that was about, I'm not good enough. I can't do it. Nothing I can do is good enough. And if you really, truly believe that, which I did, in this way, like I had to earn my love, I had to earn salvation. I knew about Jesus because, you know, the Bible was in our home. But if you really believe that, you will come to the futility of yourself. You will come to the end of yourself. And if you don't know about love, about the real Jesus, love, mercy, grace, relationship, acceptance, if you haven't experienced the real Jesus, you will despair for your life. You will go to drugs. You will look to alcohol just to numb the pain, just to make yourself not afraid for a bit. It's why, church, it's so important that we represent Jesus well. That we represent Jesus well to the world. Grace. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy is the withholding of punishment that's deserved. Man, we like to get mad at the wicked people, people who are partnering with the devil. Be like, man, they deserve Hamas. They deserve to die. They need Jesus. Gosh, they need Jesus. Okay. When you step through, when you brave this pathway to the gate and you step into Jesus, narrow is the way. 24 inches is the width of a man. You step into Jesus and suddenly, church, let me tell you, you've stepped into Jesus and suddenly there is grace and there is mercy and there is love and you cannot see the boundary of it. It's a gate. And you step into a land where love is deep. Your sins are no more. You can't even see them. It's like an illusion. People will not step through the gate because they cannot trust. They cannot trust. He's going to make me change. Yeah, he is. He's going to lead you into life, like from glory to glory to glory. What that means is that you're going to suffer and you're going to wrestle and you're going to, when you finally lay down that thing and you're so scared, what Jesus does is he goes after these core lies that the enemy has planted from even before you were born. And the enemy has watered it. The enemy is growing fruit in your life. Everything that God does, the enemy does in counterfeit. Okay? And when you step through the gate, the narrow gate, which is Jesus, you step into a land, into a width, and into a space of freedom that you can begin to feel safe in him, in relationship with him. Not because, it's not because you've done anything, but you will begin to want to do. You will begin to want to kind of have more of him on the inside. And so you will want to lay down the lies, even though it's terrifying. Even though it's terrifying. It's terrifying to lay down lies that you feel like define you. That if they've made a space for you that you feel safe in. But so often those lies, it's just death in your life. It's not truth. And the Bible is very clear. It is the truth that brings us into freedom. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. So often people don't want the narrow gate because it from the outside, before you step through that gate, it looks like submission, sacrifice, obedience. But when you step through that gate of Jesus, I liken it to a baby being born. If you imagine twins in the womb, the one twin is like, I don't think we know anything about light. And the other one's like, I know about light. I know about light. When mom walks outside, it gets bright in here. It's so bright in here. I know about light, and I know about space. Look, I can move. Oh, I got so much space over here. I probably have more space than you have over there. I know about space. We think we know. That baby has no idea. Has no idea. They have no framework to even conceive of the light and the space that is waiting for them. No framework for it. Church, this is what is waiting for us through the narrow gate. We can't even conceive of it. We meditate on it. We have services where the Holy Spirit shows up and pours out revelation of God's love. And when that happens, y'all are here. I mean, when the Holy Spirit falls and you get even a revelation of his love and his mercy, it's like overwhelming. And that's just a fraction of it. So those babies, they think they know about light and about space. We think we know about freedom. We think we know about God's love. But there's just more. There is more. And to follow that analogy kind of to the end, before baby is born, the light and the space actually get smaller. They actually go through a pretty traumatic process of being born. And when they are born, I mean, I've seen 8 times, babies come out and they're like, rawr! I mean, their arms are out. They are unhappy. What is this? It is a difficult process for a baby to be born. It is uncomfortable, and it is definitely not easy. But it results in life. That's a great analogy for the narrow gate. They come through the narrow gate, y'all, and they are born into, I know, right? It's funny. Whatever. It's a mom of 8 up here. They come through a narrow gate, and there is more life and more light and more freedom than they ever knew possible. But it is not easy. So after you enter through that narrow gate, what does it look like? It looks like walking with Jesus. It looks like hearing his voice. And now you belong to him. Now you are a sheep, the sheep of his pasture, trusting him, submitting to him, and prayerfully walking with him and looking for direction. You know, we go back to that, God, I don't want my way. Because it seems right to me. I'm never more kind of earnest in seeking God than when I think I'm right, which is a lot of the time. But I always go back and I double check. I double check with the Holy Spirit. I double check in the Word. And I will not stop checking until I have confirmation from people that I trust, from Pastor Andy and my husband. If there's something I am uncertain of, or especially if there's something I am certain of, I am certain that I'm right about this situation. I never pray more than when I think I'm right. If I have to sit down and have a conversation with someone to settle an issue or confront an issue, I am always wholly terrified. I am. I'm wholly scared. Lord, help me to communicate truth. Help them to feel your love. Help them to hear your voice through me. I am never more earnest than when I think I'm right. because I don't want to be deceived in walking in a wide way. When you step through the gate, when you are in Christ Jesus, he becomes his word becomes the lamp for your feet. It's not a spotlight. He doesn't show you everything. It's trust. It's you trust that you have stepped through. You've made that choice. Now are you going to walk in it? Are you going to let go of the behaviors and the beliefs and the thinking of the wide way? Because when I stepped into Jesus, I was in third grade. I brought a lot of wide way everything with me. But I was in him. And there was space and there was grace. And he saw the end from the beginning. And he was patient with me. All of those things that people want to believe are true in the wide way are actually true in Christ Jesus, but they are not true outside of Christ Jesus. Wow, that's good. That's not in Pastor Jason's notes. Hear that. In the wide way, it's, oh, well, what's true for me is true, and God loves me just the way I am. Guess what? In Christ Jesus, when you are in Christ Jesus, earnest in trusting him, earnest in seeking him, earnest in inviting him, then he is with you. Then you can stop striving. You can have the rest. People go the wide way and they want to rest in this way that leads to death, but you can rest and he will do the work in you. He will lead you. As he leads us, it's not one thing fits all. It is not, and I alluded to this the other day, it's not like, well, Pastor Andy has a glass of wine whenever he eats pasta, so I guess everyone can have a glass of wine when they eat pasta. It's not true. It's not true. If Pastor Andy has peace about drinking wine with his pasta and can praise God for the good gift of food and drink and joy, then that is a yes and an amen from the Holy Spirit, from God for him. And if that glass of wine is going to lead you into death and destruction and you didn't check in with Jesus, then you better not do it. That's just one example. Movies, things we watch. Some people, there are certain things I'm not allowed to watch, and that's how I say it. I am not allowed to watch graphic movies where people are suffering because it will haunt me. It will haunt me. It'll trigger fear in me. And then I'm going to have to wrestle it out and fight it out. And I have failed in this. The Holy Spirit has been like, don't read that. It was an article. I think it was in Joyce Meyer magazine. It was about human trafficking. And I just felt this pause. We talk about this a lot. It was just like a stone right here. It was just a lack of peace. And it was like a don't. That's all I heard, don't. But I wanted to. Like, I was curious. I wanted to read it. You know, it's Joyce Meyer magazine. It's not anything sinful. Ooh, I want to read it. And so I read it. And there was a graphic description of a situation that has stayed with me to this day. And this is like 10 years ago. And every once in a while, whenever the enemy wants to torment me in fear, he will bring up that article, and I will have to fight the fight because I didn't obey. So, you know, y'all maybe could have read that article and had no problem, but the Holy Spirit, when you are in Christ Jesus, his way is not, well, that's not fair. Why do they get to read the article? Why does Pastor Andy get to drink the glass of wine? And again, Joyce Meyer. I haven't watched Joyce Meyer in a long time, but the Lord told her that she wasn't allowed to drink alcohol anymore at all. She was like, what? Like, that's not scriptural. Like, it's not. The Bible says God gave wine to make men's hearts glad. That's what the word says. It's a gift. It's a gift from God for us because the way is hard. It's hard. And wine was given to make our hearts glad, not to get drunk. That's a big no. That's obvious in the scriptures. She was like, wait, what? And the Lord spoke to her on it and said, this is what, do you want what you want? Like, do you want what you've asked me for? Then this is the way. That was the way. And she was obedient. So I counsel you, church, step through the narrow gate and walk in the freedom of Jesus. But don't think for a minute that it's like, it's just free reign. It's a freedom. He knows what will lead you to life. And we learn by prayer. We learn through submission. For Pastor Jason, sports, it's in his notes. These are his notes. Sports, for him, it was like too much was too much. He would get too crazy at the TV. And there are, the kids are like watching him. And I mean, he'd never swear or anything or like get whatever. But it was like, sports is a part of who he is. It's how he was raised from the time he was a child. It was sports all the time. And it really, it's a gift of God to him. It's part of like who he is. But when he took it too much, the Lord had to back him up and say, this is now, you have to back this up, Jason. Ice cream. I love ice cream. And because I love it, I only eat it in a small bowl. We eat tiny bowls of ice cream. It holds 1.5 scoops of ice cream. And in that way, I can eat ice cream every day. I don't, but I used to. And now I eat it maybe 3 times a week. Welcome to middle age. You know, like I had to go from 7 days to like 3. But the Holy Spirit helped me to understand moderation. He helped me to understand that his ways lead to life. The wide way is not moderation. It's whatever feels good. It used to feel good to me to drink too much because it numbed all the pain. This was before I walked with Jesus, truly. I began walking with Jesus at age 22. After Jason and I got married, I began to understand and know him. I began to know his goodness. And like ice cream, now I can have exactly 1 or 2 beers in the summer and no more. Because if I eat too much ice cream, if I go to a bigger and bigger bowl, I'm going to have to take it away from myself. I am. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it, or I'm going to have to buy all new clothes. Like, and I don't want that. I have a great affection for the ice cream. So I'm going to be moderate with it, and I'm going to partake of it in a way that leads to life. And that's what I'm going to do. So the way that leads to life is moderation in all things, in all the things. And the way that leads to life in Christ Jesus is listening to him and letting him lead you into what to put down. Liz, don't read that. Don't watch that. Don't drink that. Don't eat that. If the Lord tells you don't eat something, don't eat it. Just don't do it. Like, don't do it. One time, there were chocolate chip cookies. I made them. They were delicious. And there were 3 of them. I was pregnant with Eva. She's 14 now. And I looked at those cookies, and the Holy Spirit said, share them. That's all he said, share them. And I knew what he meant. He says short, and I know what he means. He meant share them with my 2 little girls, 3 little girls in the house. And I said, I don't wanna. And I ate the 3 cookies and was sick for the entire afternoon. Not like sick, but bellyache sick for hours. I was like, Lord, forgive me. I mean, I heard the leading, and I don't wanna. In Christ, he will lead us. And it's the way that leads to life. Church, it's like I can feel all of heaven rooting for us. Rooting for us to trust. Trust in me, says the Lord. Enter through the narrow gate. Be born again. I love that picture of the babies being born. That's the narrow gate. And it's the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a big word that means the process of walking with Jesus and of coming into righteousness, of laying down sin, of putting to death the flesh. And it is a process. And there's story after story of victory. We share our victory stories to encourage. I like to share my failures because that's what would have encouraged me when I was struggling. That's why I do it. I do it because that's what I needed to hear when I felt like I was failing miserably at being a Christian. And what I was really failing miserably at was just receiving God's love and trusting him. So I want to encourage us, if you when you're out there in the world and you're praying for the salvation of the lost, pray from this. Pray that they would choose the narrow gate. And don't ever promise someone that Jesus is going to make all their problems go away. He's not. I always go back to parenting because that's my training ground for ministry. And I'm a good parent. That's by the grace of God. That's through desperate prayers for God to, you lead. You tell me how to do this. But I'm a good parent because I will not rescue my kids prematurely. I won't do it. Struggle is a biological requirement for growth. I sent that quote. I think I sent it to Pastor Andy and I sent it to Pastor Jason. Struggle is a biological requirement for growth. Difficulty is required for faith to be applied, for faith to grow. So let's deepen our trust in Jesus this morning. Let's I want you to go from here. I want you to meditate. Oh, can I have keys? I always forget to call the keys up. Thanks, Jake. I want you to go this morning and I want you to meditate on this scripture. If you've walked down that path, if you have walked down that path and stepped through the narrow gate into Christ Jesus, I want you to go deeper in trust. I want you to remember the path is submission. If you want more of Jesus, sometimes that's a prayer, more. I rarely pray that prayer because, man, I think I'm already in over my head so often, like, less Jesus, like, I do. I love to be refined because I want to be safe. Most of all, if you don't know by now, I want to be safe. And I used to think I'd rather be safe than loved. And I didn't know that being loved by Jesus is safe. But I want to be safe from thinking I'm right and not being right. I want to be safe from being deceived. And if you think just because you've walked with the Lord that you can't be deceived, if you think that just because you read your Bible every day or you attend church or you've been a Christian for however long that you can't be deceived, then you are in a dangerous position. Yeah, then you are deceived. Thank you, Pastor Andy. There is not one of us that sees with perfect vision. This is a journey and a process. It is why you have to walk with strong believers who will speak into your life. And they won't remove the obstacles. They won't say, it's okay that that's causing you suffering. You can just not address that. Love says, I'm with you while you're walking through this. I won't leave you. I'm here for you. You don't have to be perfect to be loved. But you do have to walk on the narrow way. You do have to walk through the narrow gate. You do have to be earnest in your walk with Jesus in order to stay on the path that leads to life. And in my life, in our family, when things are going sideways, I mean, I ask myself, Lord, is there something? What's going on? Why is this happening? Why is there something that's off? Am I believing something? Am I letting a lie dictate in my life to the point where now I'm seeing the fruit of the enemy? I'm in confusion. Confusion is the enemy, period, end of sentence. So whenever I'm feeling confused about something, I go right to the Word and say, God, you're not the author of confusion. Show me the ways that lead to life. And then I walk in those ways. If he says, do this, I do this. If he says, do that, I do that. Stop watching this show on Netflix. Yes, Lord. It's hard. One time he told me to stop watching a show and I watched 3 more episodes. Again, I like to share my failure stories. I watched 3 more episodes and finally it was so uncomfortable. Like I'm watching them and I'm just like, oh, this is over in the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord. But I'm good now. He's like, okay. Okay. He doesn't require us to be perfect. He requires us to be to walk with him and to be submitted to him. So go ahead and stand up with me. I'm going to close out the service. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you got a pretty accurate picture of what it is, I hope, this morning. It's not easy, but it's safe. It's the only safe way. It is the only safe way. is to trust in him, is to let him do the surgery in your life, to let him cut out the sin. It's so painful sometimes, but you're not alone. You'll never be alone in the family of God. You'll never be alone in the family of God. And he's leading you into life. If you've never made that decision for Jesus, today is the day. You can do it today. As we close out the service, I'm gonna pray a benediction over you as I send you out. If that's you today, if you want a relationship with Jesus, come up. Come up after the service. Pastor Andy and I will be up here, and we'll pray with you this morning. I'm going to call up the prayer teams. We have teams of people who come up every Sunday, and every Sunday they make themselves available to you, the church, to pray with you. And I implore you, if you're going on a trip, get prayer. Have them bless you before you go. I bless this family in the name of Jesus. If you're worried about something, have them pray. Have them pray for you. I feel like there should be lines up here of people getting prayer for big things, but small things, just the small things as well. So they're going to come up and they'll be up here also to pray with you. I'm going to send you out with a benediction from 2 Corinthians 13. It says, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." You're dismissed.